Why don't we open it up for a little, if anybody has any comments about that or something they want to discuss or actual questions that maybe the group could answer. Anyone? You have to unmute yourself.
Hello, this is Charlotte.
Charlotte.
There was three things that I have observed since our conference.
Uh-huh.
The first one was when we met our luminary light being that's going to be with us.
Uh-huh.
And they said that we were going to get their name. All I got in the beginning was a circle with two circles inside of them, one circle yellow, one circle orange. So the next, you know, thought, okay, fine. Well, then, you know, as I start processing this and it's, I'm going, okay, then. So I looked at yellow and orange and I looked at the sound tones of all of our colors. So if you take your sound tones of do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do, her name is re, mi, because it's yellow and orange.
Oh,
and so that's how I figured that piece out. And because it presented in circles, I knew it was a female, because had it been a male, it would have presented in a triangle or a square or some lines, as I call it. And if it had been androgynous, it would have presented in a circle where you have the lines around the circle, like a stop sign or, you know, any of those circles that have multiple sides to them. So that's why I knew it was a female. And then one of my meditations since then, I called her in and she presented that symbol. So I knew she was present, and that's helps with the communication. The next day or in there when with all of the stuff we do with our head, and my vision was changed, I start seeing things in my own world that I've had for a while. And all of a sudden you're seeing another depth to it. And it started out with, I had a fleecy jacket that had leaves on it for the fall. And I knew it had leaves on it that were brown and green. Well, now I'm looking at it and I'm finding out that some of the leaves were two colors of green and two colors of a brown orange. I never knew they had two colors in some of the leaves. So I'm seeing a detailed level on things that, you know, and a depth and a texture on things that I have never seen before, even in objects that I present, you know, have had for quite a while. The other part of that, or the downsides of that, is I'm also seeing all the chaos and all the things that need to be upgraded around the house, all the dust bunnies and things that go, okay, I think I better upgrade all of that stuff. But I'm also seeing the depth of the beauty in all of the objects, in all of the scenes. So jump another subject. One of the days as we're processing that how everything has changed, I was having a sensation in the back part of my head. And so then I was looking at how was the energy flowing differently in there. And this time it was flowing like it was those loopy ribbon back and forth, starting at the top, the higher point all the way down to the base of the neck, making these figure lacy loops back and forth. And then I realized they were also from the front and the back of my head. And so the energy was feeling very different in there, very smooth and flowing, but in a very specific flow, which, you know, helped me to see some of that. And basically, since conference, to me, it was like the week I got a new cell phone and the old thing's gone. And here you are with the new idea and you have to figure out how to function in it. Nothing is functioning the same.
That's right.
You know, we just, with everything we did for the year, but then the conference. So now it's figuring out how to live from this new space because there, you know, you busted the bubble. There's no going back. phone. It's an adventure.
It is an adventure. And, you know, we couldn't have done, activated what we did in the conference had it not been for those 15 sessions that went before.
Oh, yeah. And I can see how this is building on. And now we have to become more proficient on this, on integrating this and applying it. Right. And the other piece that I'm very noticing is right now we're holding within ourselves absolutely everything we need to do the creating. We just have to be develop more of our application and actually using it and be able to pick which parts you need to use for what. It's not necessary to be seeking something outside anymore because we have all the tools. It's just learning which one to use for what, kind of like having a kitchen and all the stuff in it. Now you have to learn how to cook. You have to learn when do you do what at which temperature and how long and how to pick, you know, those different things out when you are trying to make this creation. And then using some of these things. I was watching some of it come in and how I was transducing it down through that Deca Delta because otherwise we want to bring in so much and so much is available. If you can't handle it quite yet because you haven't got your physical body up to speed, you'll short circuit things. And so that's why sometimes I want to bring more in and then I got to remember my brain and my emotional body's ready, but the physical body still has got to upgrade some to be able to handle it.
Well, thank you, Charlotte. That was a wonderful explanation. Anyone else?
Hi, this is Jenna. Hi, guys. You brought up a great point, Charlotte, about I'm working a lot with the color codes and the Antahkarana, you know, the rainbow bridge with the chakras and how that interplays and how it actually participates as a contribution into our creative endeavors, as well as the sound, of course. But as she's mentioning the yellow and the orange, we know in the physical chakras that the orange is the second chakra and of creativity, and the yellow is the tan jian, as they say in Oriental medicine. It's also called the seat of the soul, that solar plexus, our power place. And so I've wondered for quite a while, I want to open this up to see if anybody might shed some light on it, of we're obviously the first three chakras have absorbed into the sacred heart chakra and the first triad. But do these first three chakras, our physical chakras, as we're learning to a new language, so to speak, about manifesting, do they come into play more than we've used to this point? Like, what's your take on that? I'd be interested to hear.
From my perspective, it's not so much the chakras, but each part of your body runs on certain color codes and sound codes. And, you know, like, I've got all the codes for every vertebrae in the spine. I've got all the codes of what colors come out of which fingers on your hands. And you can choose to charge up a certain circuitry just by putting the right finger on one of the acupuncture points of that meridian. I have a lot of this information because I've worked with it for a lot of years. So as we're using, and especially as we jump that prism to another octave, it's enabling us to bring through a frequency of color that has far more, to me, more energy in it is the best way I can explain the difference. It would be kind of like seeing a color that was a crayon, and now you're getting to see the same color, but it's coming off of a light. And so there's a whole difference in the emanation of the colors that we're now able to bring through since conference.
Well, okay, so as I'm hearing that, I'm wondering if actually as I've held for so long now that there's really nothing going on out there, you know, externalizing and objectifying is a really a third, fourth dimensional construct, you know, that keeps people unconscious, really. But is it more that I see things very fluidly, you know, and the chakra is an interface with the, through the endocrine system with the physicality. The sovereign in a body is a really big, topic.
And so as far as upgrading the physical body, so are all of your acupuncture points and all your spin points enabled to bring that through all your layers of your body. So it, you know, if somebody say has, you know, a tight muscle, there's two sets of systems that I look at right away. One is first, it's kind of like if something's not working, check if it's plugged in, you know, check if the energy is getting to it. So that would be the flow of the meridian. Second is it locked up? So muscle that's locked up, it's like it went into its small position and turned itself off. So then it's like, okay, you plugged it in, you know it's got juice, now turn it on. As we're changing and layering all these energetic bodies together and upgrading so we can function out of the higher version, that's why they're giving us access, or we're learning to be able to command, because of who we are. That's why we're becoming masters of light. The different levels and quantitativeness that is needed in that, you know, to sustain that. And I know I just, because it's always sits in front of my computer, is my color codes to my name. I've been running those again because that's my stabilization. If any of those are faded out, then you're wobbly. And it's just an easy one to do because it's your, you know, we talk about our personal codes and stuff, but then they kind of get set in the background and we keep looking at the new stuff coming in. And sometimes we have to, you know, get back to balancing individually whatever it is you need or which system that we, you know, because we've got these, you know, integrating some of the energetic bodies into each other is takes some attention.
I want to draw your attention to the fact that those first three chakras, long time ago, were brought into the function of the first triad.
Right.
So
yeah, that's an intellectual understanding at this point. I'm just wondering if, you know, I look at the Antikarana, for instance, and the rainbow bridge, which has the fluidity of all of the color codes, you know, within it. And that, can you correct me if I'm wrong, that that's the bridge from the third to the fourth triad, as the magenta is, lotus is, you know, foundational to that?
I'm not sure what you're referring to.
Well, it's like there's a...
Yeah, sorry, I'm speaking direct to Joan here.
Right. You know, there's a bridge. There's a bridging at first in that triadic system. And I think my awareness, I haven't worked a lot with that Antikarana bridge, but is between the fourth and fifth triad.
Fourth and fifth.
Milena, do you have any thing you want to say about that?
Not well, you know what? We haven't talked about Anacharana Bridge since way back in MA days, early MA days for me. And so I don't know everything about it, but the way it was first introduced to me, which was what I was thinking about when you brought it up, Jana, that Rainbow Bridge, that Anacharana Bridge, is our bridge back home. So it's not limited to just between the third and fourth, but that's where we were, you know, before. So now it's something that keeps expanding. It's like the road appears in front of you. So it's like, yeah. That is what I'm seeing. And that's what we, are following home. And then as you were talking too, I was thinking about, and also what Charlene said, you know, we've been given so many things through the years, so many pieces and parts and all of these tools and all of these energetics. And so, it's very hard to keep them all in your awareness field. So if you kind of look at that graphic behind me, which of the Taurus, and each one of those streams of light. So maybe think about all of the things we've been given for all of these years are all incorporated in each one of those streams. You know, they're somewhere in there for us to draw from. And so all of that, to me, is also creating and building that Anacharana Bridge back home.
Yeah, we're in a constant state of that.
Yeah.
You get that. And my reason for bringing it up, you know, in conversation now is really to just be looking at the living application, you know, of our states of being rather than addressing it in any kind of more fixed or intellectual way. It's like we have this silent time coming, you know, for this next, and this seems to be the opportunity, you know, to bring it up because it feels as though the sound codes and the sound currents, you know, and the light codes, are going to be playing a really principal role, you know, as we're living into our ascension path. And, I'll leave it like that, but.
Yeah. Well, every single thing we've done is influencing who we are and where we're going, even if it's not in our immediate awareness, because we've done so much, you know, through the years, but put it all in that field, that, you know, that toroidal field, it's all available to us and it's just where we put our attention. But it's all of it's available to us at all times. And I'm just, you know, I'm really excited about learning more, A, about that toroidal field, even though it's part of who we are. It's been with us all the time, but now putting our attention on it. And, you know, when showing you that model, which I have over there, and there's a whole lot more to that that I don't understand, but I hope that we all are able to grow into, because we're right at this precipice of this whole other level of complexity of energetics in by bringing in that eighth dimensional time lock. And we're just beginning to have glimpses of the possibilities, I think, from where we are. And it's very exciting to watch.
You know? It is, you know, and we've been told that we need structure in order to create structure and movement, you know, and it was once pointed out to me that the journey of the soul is one of fractality,
exactly.
You know, of the fractals. And if you look at this, the moving video of a Mandelbrot, for instance, it's this ever evolving, and it's contracting and expanding, and our attention points are just that, you know. You know, as Charlotte's mentioning, the spin points and the axitonal, you know, communication pathways, it's the point is our attention point, you know, because it's where we're consciously, intentionally putting a creative focus, and then we expand on it. simply by putting our attention and intention on it, you know. Right. So we get into this very, I mean, we've been working with circular time. I have a feeling that we're going to be working more with spiral time, you know, and
that's how the universe is constructed. Everything's constructed on that spiral.
Yeah, and we're just tuning in.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Thanks very much.
Yeah, as long as we are talking about our tool chest and the energy anatomy, I've been wondering if we specifically focus on the magenta lotus as part of our creations now, or how its role has changed.
Can I say something?
Sure.
What I saw was when the ray of the divine feminine, the she, anchored on the planet, it created a luminosity, and this luminosity is that color, the aqua that you're seeing, and it's blended. It's like seeing the new rainbow, or the rainbow above the rainbow, the next rainbow of colors that, you know, whether you can see it or not, it's still there, you know. But it's luminous, very much like the circle of luminosity that was put in play. I think that's really the colors, and it's like this sheen that just goes over, in, through, and around the lotus. So that now when it's flowing with almost, it's not glitter, it's just this sheen, and the colors dance and change, and oh my God, it's stunning.
Right.
And exactly what it does, I'm not really so sure.
Well, I think
that's what I...
Upgrading the energetics, or upgrading everything in our toolbox, everything. So it's just not this thousand petal lotus. It has color and depth and sound, and it functions in multiple dimensional ways. Anybody else want to comment on that?
Katarina, does that answer your question?
Well, it gives me some ideas, and Linda, that was a very beautiful description. I could see that happening as you were talking about it. So, you know, what I would like to suggest is that even as we're working in our time of silence, if we get questions or if we get understandings, to continue sharing them through our Facebook page so we can spur each other's growth.
Yes, I think that's an excellent idea, Katriana.
Yeah.
We don't use it as much as we can. And a lot of times we're so interested in sharing nuggets of information that we find from different sources that we forget about what we have inside of us and to share it with the group, because, you know, everybody has their individual piece of mastery that they really help the group when they share it.
I wouldn't mind sharing one little thing, what I've been experiencing, because this conversation has been very helpful. This is Kelly, and I've been having a lot of trouble with my nervous system. Some of that, of course, was spawned from injuries a long time ago, and that's what I thought it was all about. And now from this conversation, I'm wondering, I've been having a lot of tension in the back of my head, down my neck, and down my spine. Having trouble getting it to calm down. And now I wonder if it's just me trying to figure out how to process this new frequency of energy in my body. And I just thought I'd put that out there to see if anybody else is experiencing anything like that. Cause I think I will, because of this conversation, approach what I'm feeling differently.
Yeah.
Well, I can tell you I've had lots of aches in my body. My body has hurt like I've had the flu, but I don't have the flu. It's just been very, very achy. And I can attribute it to the body adapting to these really high frequencies and so many of them at one time. You know, it was a lot of energetics that came through during those 3 days. And so it was like, now the body has to sort it out.
Well,
yeah, they're pure energies. That's, I think, you know, a really big point is that we're kind of betwixt and between, you know, as many of you are, I'm sure, going into the sleep state with Kutumi and from session 15 of that practical piece, that we are with the intention of transforming the third dimensional body into the fifth dimensional physical state. And the conference, of course, is, you know, like a megawatt universal bulb, you know, that's just been lit up in us. So the purity of those energetics, I think, I know in yoga meditation, when we do an intensive weekend, you know, like the conference, people would laugh, but it was like Shakti was the pure spiritual energy from source. And people would sort of with a tongue in cheek call it the Shakti flu, you know, after, because the physical symptoms like are just there as these purer, you know, more highly resonant energies are coming in. They have to push on anything that's dense.
Yeah, and don't forget, we're changing that light into that plasma, that crystalline plasmic light, you know, because we've now finally reached this point. And that is going to create big changes in the body, because the body has to go through those changes in order to move into that fifth dimensional state.
Yes.
So if I could ask then, I'd like to know does anybody have any suggestions for me about how to deal with this?
I do.
Yeah. Okay. Go for it.
The thing that came to my reality pretty dramatically was that when the ray arrived for us, which I believe actually arrived during the equinox, or the not the equinox, but the whatever that is, you know, when the moon and the sun
eclipse
the whole thing. The eclipse, thank you. That the purity, the beauty, and the energy of that ray, which we've all been prepared to receive, every single one of us has. When that anchored literally and came into our energy field, there was so much distortion that we have removed already. But when you have that kind of level of light stepping, flowing through you, completely through you, you become aware of the, parts that are not as light. And because your physical body has a pocket of it somewhere. So it lights up and then there's the act of releasing it. You know, it's like, it can be very fast, or maybe you need to kind of work on it, but it's like it's pulling it out of the body so that she has space to be. For we now have the ability to connect with the she. I've been channeling her for months now, but now it's all making sense. But so actually what I'm going to suggest is something that everybody talks about, you know, tongue in cheek, to stand in gratitude, because it's a spot in your physical vessel that can be removed so easily. Because now it's lit up, you can see it. And, you know, so it's just like picking up the like a cigarette butt. It's like, okay, there's one. Let me get that and put it into the violet fire, get rid of it because I don't need it anymore. And then that energy now has space to be. And that's what we're doing. We're cleansing our physical body so that the energy of the she, which includes the he, has space to be. And it's like you've been purging for a really long time, and kudos to you. You're doing a kick-ass job, you know? But it's not comfortable. You know, I mean, I went into depression right afterwards when I was like in rejoicing. It's like this was the biggest day of my life when you guys brought that to us. And then, but it was because there were things in my physical vessel, memories from past lives, literally, of major trauma, PTSD. And man, did it show up. And it's like, okay, so pull that string, unravel that cord. I don't need it anymore because now she is going to take that space. It's like, well, right on. So it really is kind of that simple. And as soon as you step into gratitude, it can't exist for you any longer. It's like, it doesn't feel the same. It does exist, but it doesn't feel the same. It's easier.
I have a comment.
That's what I've felt. Okay.
Charlotte, because we're doing what I call phase in, phase out, that's that pristine energy versus whatever, wherever everything is at. But in your vertebrae and in your back, think of those as circuit breakers. And they run the different organs of your body. And so as you have that pressure or whatever in a certain area or on a particular one, it is that part of the body that is being, I call it rewired at the time. If you can imagine going to a circuit box and, okay, you used to have the old fuses that you screwed in and now you want breakers and, you know, upgrading so you can handle the frequency that you didn't have, you know, and we're running 150 and going for something that's going to be far greater than that. And we can't be running around with the fuse box that only has, you know, the 60 amp little screw in fuses, because you're going to keep blowing them. And so some of those, and that's why you can, to me, it's easy because I know it, but you can run color, you know, and find out which one smooths that out for you. Because, you know, I'll get the chart off to Joan so she can print it up for everybody. But, you know, because you can draw that into that circuit and say, okay, this one needs this so that it is, you can smooth out some of that uncomfortableness. And the flu-like symptoms is the fact that you are taking these particles out of your body and that all goes into the lymphatic system, which all has to clear out of the body because we still have a physical body and we're choosing to upgrade this physical body from what was to where we're going, from a carbon base to a silicon base to all these higher energies. And there's a lot of house cleaning.
I might just add for one second, as I'm listening to you, the thought was we have been so habituated to the classroom orientation, we have to get out of the classroom and get out in the playground, you know, and just start experimenting and playing with things and discovering within ourselves. It's constantly changing and morphing, but we can start having fun with it and getting to be those really playful and hone our creative skills at the same time. So thanks.
Absolutely.
We have three people wanting to make comments. Do you have comments? We need to move on because time is getting away. This has been great. We probably need to have more of these conversations. But Susie, you've had your hand up for a really long time. Could you be kind of succinct?
Yes, I will. I had an experience yesterday. We had a
Christmas craft fair at our fairgrounds. And I went in and I was looking through the different big buildings, and I was aware that I wanted to get these cinnamon almonds that I get from this guy. And I just, so that was my first thought when I went in this building. So I'm walking around and I see this guy where he's set up, and there's nothing there. I mean, all the stuff is gone. And I went, wow, that's odd. And so I walked on, and pretty soon I see him come back, and I went over and I said, did you run out of stuff already? And he goes, I could tell he was just frazzled. My supplier ran out and I'm trying to put things together and I didn't get everything I needed. And he went on and on. And so I got to talking to him, and I just told him that, you know, he said his wife died a year and a half ago. Maybe that has a lot to do with it. This is more of a female type job. Maybe I really need to get in and out of this into something else. And so anyway, I just talked to him, and I started telling him how I work. I don't attach. People are so negative. Everybody's coming at me. Everybody's just be so nasty. I got to get out of here. And I just told him, you know, I volunteer at Wildlife Safari. I volunteer with a health and wellness group. And I said, and I just surround myself with people that where I vibrate with that are kind and generous and loving. And I don't experience that in my world. And he says, well, yeah, but you're volunteering. I said, well, yeah, but I said, and it's not even about the money, because we talked about the money. And, I said, it's what I choose to do, what I choose to refuse to let into my space. And so we went on and we talked, and pretty soon he's hugging me, and I kept trying to leave, and I couldn't leave because he kept wanting to just talk to me more. And so finally, after to make this short, after like the third time, he said, I don't know what it is about you, but he goes, you're just really special and really have light. And he was very masculine, you know, and all that. And by the time I left, we hugged again, and he still didn't want to let me go. I could tell it was just, I was really aware of, I was in a multidimensional space. I was focused with him. I was observing him. I was listening to him. I was in one-on-one time, and yet I was aware of what he was saying, his experience, what was around me. And it was just kind of a really different space that I was aware that I'm expanding into, and having him tell me how much he appreciated and loved my light was really special, you know, because he definitely said he felt it. That was nice.
Thank you. Sandy, you've got something short?
you're muted, Sandy.
Unmute yourself, Sandy.
Okay, sorry. It is short. Yesterday I went out to shovel my driveway, my porch, and thinking that last year I wouldn't have had the energy to do that. And it was like, oh, okay. And I'm shoveling the snow, and it's just sparkling, beautiful, and shiny. And what came to me is, I can do this. My body can do this. And that's it.
Wonderful.
Big change from last year.
Yeah.
Awesome. Kathleen, you were up there, and I know you have something to contribute, which I kind of know what it's about. So I think I would like for you to share, because some others in the group might be experiencing what you were experiencing.
Well, I actually put it in the chat, so I don't need to take up space.
Okay.
Yeah. I just agree with what everyone is saying, but I know you need to move along. So I just put it in the chat in response to Kelly.
Okay. One of the things, well, if you would just share real briefly what you have experienced, because I think others may have had some of those experiences.
Okay, sure. excuse me. Basically, I was also, I think Jan has also mentioned having some symptoms in her female area, like ovary pain and stuff like that. And I totally agree with what Linda was saying. I think that, And I also appreciated Jana's comments about the lower chakras. I think, you know, for me, bringing that energy up to the heart, Sacred Heart, was so important, but there are still residue in the lower chakras and, from past lives and trauma. And so what's worked for me, as I mentioned to Kelly in the chat, I didn't send it yet, is just slowing down the Merkaba field for like a day. I was trying to sustain it at a really, you know, at that 100, 152. And it was creating, it was like the download from the Shi. And I was feeling it like a week or two before the conference. And I forgive me, the men in this group if this is too graphic, but I literally felt like I was ovulating, like I was fertile. And, that's just not possible at this point. And, I felt like I was like having, you know, a rejuvenation of that area. And so I tuned in and I was very clear to stop any kind of hormone replacement and all of that. It was too much because the energy coming in was actually changing the DNA, changing the hormone structure of my body. And so I just had to listen. And that's hard for me to sometimes really believe that that's true, like that this light is that powerful. But as soon as I stopped the medication, and that means I don't take any other medications, I just do supplements, everything evened out. And I also have had, like Linda talks about, memories are held in the womb, you know, like as women. And for men, I'm sure it's held in that area too, in the, you know, Dantian and the sacral chakra. And so, going back to our tools, that eighth session where we, you know, reached forward and backward and not even needing to know all this details, but I, like Kelly, I so appreciate like that the body is now showing, it's like lighting up where I thought, oh, I had forgiven everyone. it really wasn't, complete by any means. So yeah, the violet flame has been wonderful using the eighth ray tools. And, you know, certainly connecting to the luminous one. But I think the biggest takeaway from all of it for me was to not go into fear, because I would feel these pains and I would, you know, call the doctor. I would read on the internet. God, crazy not to do. Because it just, there's nothing going wrong. It's just an upgrade. So I hope that's helpful, because it's helpful to me to hear I'm not the only one having these ascension symptoms to the degree, aches and pains are one thing, but I think the female organs are so precious. And so when that's kind of, you know, making signals, it was a concern. So was that what you wanted me to share? Was
there you had mentioned to me about some of your, lineage things coming up.
Well, for sure. Yeah. So that, you know, it's really kind of a matter of going into meditation and asking to be shown. And, one of the things that, you know, I think in the old days when we were like clearing or we were just divorcing ourselves from what we thought were family of origin, you know, that we had to step away from these families. And what I'm aware of, especially just this morning, is that, you know, we all danced different dances, and I can't polarize with the people in this group because I did some hurtful things to them in other lifetimes as well. And so to really see the balance sheet, you know, kind of even out. But then also, as you've mentioned, Milena, in other sessions, I made a list of all the things that I really acknowledge that's so powerful. I mean, I really come from a very, I mean, you know, Harvard professors and MIT professors. I mean, my family origin is very intellectually and academically accomplished. Emotional intelligence has to meet up with that, but to at least make a list of what I value in that, because that's all part of me, is really the way of embracing it all with compassion instead of, oh, I'm a victim of this lineage, because that's just keeping me hooked to fall back right into all those patterns of anger, resentment, you know, all that stuff that creates the karmic wheel, the cycle. But if I can see them for who they are, as, you know, just beings on the path and appreciate them. That really is a game changer as
well. Right, rewriting that narrative.
Yeah.
Yeah, and as you know, taking that different perspective. And it's not just, we tend to focus on the negative aspects of those lineages sometimes. And, you know, and the, how that has affected us, but we forget, you know, we have done so much work for so many years to clear that aspect, those negative ones, and we have risen above it. It's only our thought processes that keep us hooked into it. Now we have the opportunity, because of all the things we've done, now those lineages also brought you many gifts as well. So start reframing that and shift that perspective into receiving the gifts from that lineage and not just focus on, well, I got this and, oh, the family did this and, you know, all of those things that these stories we keep telling. Let's, you know, you're powerful beings. Rewrite that story. Replace that. You've moved those energetics out. Now bring in that new, those new energetics and fill it up. Replace that vacuum with what supports you and the gifts that came to you, be it your personal lineage, your soul lineage, all of it. But thank you for sharing this. Yeah.
Well, I think we really need to move on. It's been a wonderful conversation, and I think that it's important that we share what's going on within us and how we are reacting to these energies. And the suggestions that were brought forth were excellent. I appreciate everybody that participated in this conversation.